gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the place you go for free speech and for interesting talk. Support it. Keep free speech alive. Go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button and send shekels. Shekels, one of the world's oldest currencies. Not the oldest, but it's pretty old. And then also go to nationalbugle.com. Download the Koshertified app. Start leading a non-kosher certified lifestyle where you are asserting your grocery independence and you're purchasing non-kosher certified foods. Who wants a bunch of old rabbis telling you what to eat? Well, maybe if you're Orthodox, you do. And in that case, download the Koshertified app and you'll know which foods to avoid. It's great for everyone. It's a win-win situation. And also, while you're at nationalbugle.com, look at all of the great articles that Mark Dankoff has put up there. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great being on, and one thing I wanted to make clear very quickly, the first thing I'll just mention, because I promised this both to Senator Lindsey Graham and to Ambassador Susan Rice on the air, is that we would, on a one-time basis, salute Ambassador Rice for referring to Lindsey as a piece of S. That was reported by Fox News today, and I told Lindsey that we needed to give credit to Ambassador Rice where credit is due, whatever her liabilities, whatever the mistakes, whatever the ideological divide between Susan Rice and the hosts of this show, mm-hmm. and certainly the management and the listeners of RBN, we salute her for telling the truth about Lindsey Graham. So I promised the ambassador and Senator Graham that we would make sure that got on the air, and there it is.
Well, you know something? That I salute it, too. And you know what I would like to hear from Lindsey Graham? I would like to hear Lindsey Graham say, I'm rubber and you're glue, and whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. And I would salute that because the contrary, I mean, it is true. Because if she throws stuff at him, well, some of it does stick to him, but a lot of it bounces back right on her because she's one, too.
Yes, well, since she did a good job with Senator Graham, I'll give her a one-day pass. We'll attack her in the next show. But at any rate, if Ambassador Rice is listening, there's a chance that she is. We certainly salute her description of Lindsey Graham. And every once in a while, even someone who is working with the nefarious forces of the New World Order gets something done correctly. And certainly we salute her for her particular salute to Senator Graham today that was reported by Fox News.
Yes, that was very interesting.
Yes, so we have some other news stories I'll just mention in passing. Craig Murray, the former ambassador, British ambassador, has a very, very sobering piece out there on Julian Assange's appearance in court. Mm-hmm. Ambassador Murray was an eyewitness to what took place. He was an eyewitness to the way that Julian Assange looked and sounded. And frankly, Craig Murray gives us an eyewitness description that lends great credence to the rumors and to the reports that Assange has been tortured while in custody. So that's very serious reading, and people will, of course, be able to see that on the big board.
I hate to say it, but I saw a picture today of Halloween's coming up, and it was of some sort of dog, a very unhappy-looking dog that was put in a lion's mane costume. And I looked at it and thought, you know, that looks like Julian Assange there. It looked kind of like a very unhappy animal, sickly unhappy animal, zoo animal.
Yes, and the frightening deterioration that Ambassador Murray described both in Assange's physical appearance and in his mental acuity is certainly indicative of the fact that there's every reason to believe that he has been subjected to things that are absolutely unconscionable in a Western country. So we'll simply leave it at that, but I want everyone to get a chance on the big board to see that story and to read it, because it's very, very sobering, not simply in terms of what has been done to Assange, but what has been done to whistleblowers generally in regard to the way that the central state operates and the way that the New World Order operates in ensuring that anyone who gets information to the public that does not fit the party line of mainstream, a controlled mainstream media, is potentially going to be subjected to this same sort of thing. Snowden, Edward Snowden, has a very, very fine presentation, by the way, with on the Joe Rogan show. RT has been running this series, and they've entitled it Snowden's statement that opposing mass surveillance is patriotic. Snowden makes it very, very clear what the implications are in the Western world, both in the United States and in Britain and elsewhere, of the police state that has been erected in the name of national security, and all of the crimes, both domestic and foreign, that clearly have been committed by the American government and the British government and other governments in the wake of 9/11. So that's well worth a person's time to take a look at what Snowden says on the Joe Rogan show. And to the credit of RT, they are running excerpts from those broadcasts. There's apparently going to be more than one involved, but this is clearly something that, along with what Ambassador Murray has said about Julian Assange's court appearance, should give us all pause for concern in regard to the whole question of freedom of speech in the West generally and freedom of speech in the United States specifically. RT runs another article that, in conjunction with the Snowden story and what Ambassador Murray has said about Assange's appearance in court, is especially disturbing about the situation with the American news media, and especially of concern when it comes to the whole business of Americans generally. RT is reporting that more than 50% of Americans want government-imposed press restrictions and curbs on freedom of speech. So what we have is a situation where you have a percentage of the American public that supports all these curbs on freedom of speech that involve government-targeted surveillance of and ultimately persecution of and incarceration of people like Assange and Snowden. And at the same time, you have a high percentage of Americans on the left, predominantly, who want government-imposed press restrictions and curbs on freedom of speech, who, again, using this hate speech situation as a definition of what should and should not be allowed, are obviously trying to curb freedom of expression for people on the right, the real right, the anti-neocon, anti-Zionist right, and the Russian media was very careful to say that that's what's going on here. And, of course, that includes people like us and people like Duke at Rents. People like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Adrian Krieg and Don Wastel at the Nationalist Times. It includes the people at AFP, American Free Press, and all of the other folks that have been involved in all of this publication and broadcasting, and especially since 9/11.
So I have a question. So I had, well, you know, we hear sometimes, it would have been better if Hillary had been elected, would have accelerationism, things would go or, you know, you hear about, you hear things like this. I had a caller yesterday, William from Montana, who's very astute, and he's he reads the Russian press in Russian. He was talking about Trump, you know, because I refer to Trump as losing, not being a plant, but just being, you know, not throwing the game, just losing the game. And William was giving him some credit. Trump, intentionally or not, has exposed the real structure of political power. Now, right? I mean, if Hillary had been elected, a lot of the same things might have happened. Maybe even worse things would have happened. But people would be thinking, well, you know, she's president now and she's made things happen. And there wouldn't be the focus on the judiciary, there wouldn't be the focus on the media, there wouldn't be focus on the deep state. It would just seem, well, people elected Hillary and, you know, they're passing hate crime laws. People elected Hillary and they're going to the wars overseas. Well, that's democracy in action. And the fact of the matter is they elected Trump, who has maybe made flailing attempts to carry out the platform he was elected on of non-intervention. And, you know, maybe he wasn't elected on a platform of free speech, but it is his supporters who are being attacked for free speech. And so what it's exposing is, you know, if Hillary had been elected, it's, well, that was democracy in action. We elected a president. She's following through on her agenda. But here it's, well, we elected a president and he's not able to follow through on anything. And we're seeing who's actually thwarting him. So if nothing else, he's done us a great service. I mean, and he does talk about the press. He talks about fake news. He talks about the press as the enemy of the people. And if the judiciary's had to step out of the shadows, and you know, you see them overturning perfectly legal policy decisions he's doing, you see the role of the, you know, vicious role of the media. There's no pretense of objectivity. So I just thought I'd bring that up, but see what you think about it. You know, this isn't a matter of saying we support Trump or we don't support Trump, but. You know, with regards to accelerationism, we're getting a lot of acceleration here, but we're seeing clearly where it's coming from, and it's clearly not coming from, you know, processes that were mapped out in the Constitution, right?
Well, that's exactly right, and let me mention three or four things that I think will buttress the point that you've been trying to make here, Dr. Slattery. One is a Russia Insider post on how big tech oligarchs are censoring the internet and censoring the internet in terms of freedom of political expression by using what? By using the Jewish ADL. That's the mm-hmm. title of the article. Mm-hmm. Big tech oligarchs censor the internet with the Jewish ADL. I think that certainly is just in the face of the title, indicative of what is really going on here in regard to who the power structure is in the United States in terms of composition and how they operate, and they're operating at different levels, including the censorship of the net, which is being particularly and almost exclusively aimed at the alt-right in the United States, the anti-Zionist, anti-neocon, anti-New World Order, anti-globalist right. So I'd recommend that piece from Russia Insider, which will get up on the big board if it isn't there already. And then there are a couple of other things that I think underscore your very point on how this is being done to subvert the results of the 2016 election, whether one likes those results or not, whether or not one is a supporter of Donald Trump or has been only a qualified supporter of him vis-a-vis people like Hillary Clinton. One is that Glenn Greenwald of The Intercept, hardly a conservative, someone who has, at least where traditionalists are concerned, a countercultural lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Glenn Greenwald is someone who will speak his mind on Donald Trump in the most critical fashion, mm-hmm. And in many respects, a very legitimate fashion when he feels it necessary to do so. And yet Glenn Greenwald, I think, has proven his mettle as an honest journalist with The Intercept by pointing out that what we have in this situation going on with Donald Trump, whether it was Russiagate or whether it's now Ukrainegate, is clearly an obvious attempt on the part of the deep state and the establishment Clinton wing of the Democratic Party to delegitimize the election. So in this particular case, I think that that's what you've got. And when you look at this, there are a couple of other stories that come up that I think underscore this. One is that Adam Schiff, we are told, by the Duran. Adam Schiff has a very, very interesting relationship with matters Ukrainian and with a Ukrainian oligarch and also with the Ukrainian arms dealer. That story at the Duran is something that is obviously not being reported in mainstream media in the United States. At the same time that this Congresswoman Hill from California, who is the vice chair of the so-called House Oversight Committee, which is involved in these matters related to the Trump impeachment is now being investigated by the House herself for some incredible personal and sexual misconduct that involves her professional identity on Capitol Hill. No more need be said at this particular point, except to say that this, again, underscores the comedic state of affairs as it involves a deep state and Democratic Party establishment to delegitimize Donald Trump at the same time that people like Adam Schiff and this Congresswoman Hill are being caught, along with Joe Biden, in things that are making the Democratic Party's rather moralistic public stance increasingly a matter of public mockery in regard to the amount of their own involvement in illegal activities and the extent to which their motives in trying to do what they're doing to Donald Trump are obviously more transparent by the minute. So in this particular case, you have this Duran story on Schiff and his involvement with the Ukrainian oligarch, who's also an arms dealer.
And what's the Ukrainian oligarch's name?
I would have to consult the story. Because of what's going on here in San Antonio weather-wise, I don't have my usual studio equipment on in regard to drumming up this person's name. I will subsequently get it. But suffice it to say that the story on Schiff and this Ukrainian oligarch is found at the Duran. So if you're in a position with your computer system based upon your studio location to research that, the name should come up immediately. Now, while you're doing that or attempting to do that, there is yet another angle on this Ukrainian business that is especially fascinating in regard to all of the implications. During my time on Twitter, David Duke,
are you still on Twitter? Have you been kicked off yet?
Haven't been kicked off yet. I imagine that'll be forthcoming at some point. I'll stay on as long as I can. I will try to point out to those who follow me exactly what I think is going on in these things. And from time to time, appropriately confronting the malefactors, ranging from Schiff and Warren and Beto, all the way over to Mitt Romney and others who are all involved in this rather comedic circus as we approach 2020. But a name leapt out at me on Twitter yesterday. This guy's name is Adam Parkhomenko, P-A-R-K-H-O-M-E. So you have Park and
Adam
Home.
Adam Parkhomenko?
Park, if you spell Park.
Is his first name Adam?
Adam.
Another Adam.
Homenko, P-A-R-K-H-O-M-E. So you have Park and Home, and then just add in K-O. This guy, was credited or discredited, shall we say, for referring to Bernie Sanders as an A-S-S-H-O-L-E. And he said, quote unquote, in reference to Senator Sanders, I hate that A-S-S-H-O-L-E.
I believe that's pronounced assholy in American.
Yes, exactly. Now, the thing that's fascinating about this, when I saw this and saw the rather vociferous reaction, understandable.
And now he's like some sort of Hillary Clinton fan, apparently.
He's not only a Hillary Clinton fan, but when we start delving a little more deeply into his background, this is a Jewish fellow who was apparently in this country living in Brooklyn.
It is a Ukrainian surname, I guess, a Jewish Ukrainian
he
surname.
He is a Ukrainian Jew by background. And fascinatingly enough, the UK Observer has a story that is entitled Ukraine tried to tip the election in Clinton's favor.
Okay, we're going to have to stop right there.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And make the world go away.
Welcome back to the show. And during the break, I looked up that Ukrainian American. Oh, what was it? The oligarch, the Ukrainian oligarch. His name is Igor Pasternak. Igor Pasternak. Okay. And I have a quote from him. He is Mr. Pasternak of Aeroscroft Corporation, and he's recognized for his support of Ukrainian efforts, and he received some honor, and he stated, and this is a quote, "I am extremely grateful for the acknowledgement and proud to forever call myself a Ukrainian Jewish American." So there you go.
There you go.
Imagine our shock.
When we look at this guy, Pasternak, we've nailed his name down from that Duran piece, and his link to Adam Schiff, all of a sudden we look at this Clinton operative, who is approximately 34 years old, Adam Parkhomenko, who has vociferously attacked Bernie Sanders. He said, quote unquote, "I hate that A-S-S-H-O-L-E.
That's only an American.
That this guy's a Ukrainian Jew, and that the UK Observer has a very interesting piece on how the Ukraine is tried to tip the election in Clinton's favor. That's an article that we need to search for additional information. And I would simply ask all of our listeners, and I've been meaning to talk to Dr. E. Michael Jones at Culture Wars in South Bend about this, what else can we say? What other information can we garner about this Adam Parkhomenko, P-A-R-K, Homenko, this Clinton operative Ukrainian Jew, has a level of animosity toward Bernie Sanders that was absolutely expressed publicly. This guy also has a police background, meaning as a some sort of a policeman. He's quite good with a gun, apparently. And when you look at this guy, among the many things that I discovered on his Twitter page through doing some degree of research before our broadcast tonight, this guy was attacking the lack of security in the Jeffrey Epstein jail situation, which is fine. I would say the same thing. But the interesting thing is that all of the people who tend to follow Adam Parkhomenko were trying to say that that they were very suspicious that it was the Russians who had something to do with the demise of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Parkhomenko, of course, is as anti-Putin as he is anti-Bernie Sanders, perhaps even more so. And so I sent Parkhomenko the URL to the research of both Whitney Webb of Mit Press News on the Mossad, provable Mossad links to Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. I also sent our friend Parkhomenko, Adam Parkhomenko, a link to Philip Giraldi's research and his essays on Jeffrey Epstein and the pedophile network and the Mossad, and of course the Mossad links to Ghislaine Maxwell. And then I sent Adam Parkhomenko and all of these other anti-Putin types that were blogging on Adam's page several pictures. One showed the Twin Towers burning with an Israeli flag in the upper right-hand corner. One of the pictures showed Uncle Sam pointing at the person looking at the photo, and Uncle Sam is saying, "I want you to die for Israel," and this great map of Greater Israel from the Nile to the Tigris and Euphrates rivers is in the background. One of the other pictures that I remember attaching to our friend Parkhomenko and to his people was a picture that was a gag meme that showed Jeffrey Epstein jumping off of his second upper level bunk in his jail cell with a noose around his neck. And this, of course, is all designed to say to this guy and to say to the people that are all true believers in Hillary Clinton and true believers in the anti-Russian line, and true believers that anyone who opposes Clinton is a Russian agent, right? Whether you're Bernie Sanders or you explicitly accuse Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein.
Tulsi Gabbard, that great Aloha American.
That's right. To accuse such people of being Russian agents is absolutely as irresponsible a political statement as I think I've heard out of any major politician, any past presidential candidate, any past First Lady of the United States, any past Secretary of State in my lifetime. And lo and behold, all of these true believers, whether it's dealing with Gabbard and Stein, or whether it's dealing with trying to pin the Jeffrey Epstein affair on Vladimir Putin, or just assuming that the Litvinenko poisoning was done by Putin.
Yeah, hold on a second. I must have missed something. Pinning the Jeffrey Epstein situation on Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, there were several people that were writing to this Adam Parkhomenko and saying, "Yeah, you know, this Epstein thing's really is suspicious, and it seems to have Russian involvement all over."
Well, I'm hearing Eddie Arnold say that it's time to go to the break, so we'll be right back.
Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You say you want me back again. That's
Welcome
the time.
Okay, so there's some things. I want to make sure we get everything tied together. First of all, this Igor, what was the guy's name? Igor, gosh, let me start that over again.
I think he was in Dr. Zhivago.
Either in Dr. Zhivago or maybe was it Young Frankenstein? Okay. All right, here we go. I'm not starting over again. We're just going to go with it. Mr. Igor Pasternak.
Pasternak.
Okay, we got all these weird Ukrainian Jewish names. But Igor Pasternak apparently was involved in the coup against Ukrainian President Yanukovych. He had gone over just during the week that Yanukovych got chased out of office, and he was there for diplomatic reasons. They say diplomatic reasons. Was he, you know, I guess with an American diplomatic passport? So he had some involvement in that. And then this young kid, Adam Parkamenko, I just want to read a little bit from his Wikipedia page. In 2003, while a 17-year-old student at Northern Virginia Community College, Parkamenko set up VoteHillary.org, an independent website. Okay, well, a big deal. Lots of people can set up a website. Later, he ran Draft Hillary for President 2004. Okay, big deal again. But HillPAC, Hillary Clinton's political action committee, hired Parkamenko as a staffer while he was in 2004. So they hired this 18-year-old kid, Next thing you know, he's I guess assistant campaign manager for Clinton in the 2008 Virginia primary. So he would have been 22. And then here's the thing. At age 23, Parkhomenko ran for the Democratic nomination for the Virginia House of Delegates, their state assembly. And his candidacy was endorsed by Bill Clinton and Wesley Clark. So, I mean, how often does a presidential candidate endorse somebody running for state legislature, let alone a 23-year-old kid? So what is it with these young Jews from, well, I guess he was born in America, but of, you know, recent, very recent Soviet background, these young Jews, and they get immediately put on the fast track to the deep state or to political power. So, I mean, I asked that almost rhetorically, but you might have an answer for it. But otherwise, it's linking together Parkhomenko and Igor, what's his name, Pasternak, and then the whole business about them trying to link Putin to Jeffrey Epstein. Untangle this mess for me.
Well, I think it's clear that what we have, and Dr. Adrian Krieg and I, a little bit on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show on Eurofolk Radio last Monday.
Is that a Monday show? Everybody should listen to that every Monday.
Yeah, it's they always are good to promote this show and to promote RBN each time on that broadcast, as well as a link to the things that you and I do for RBN. And when Dr. Krieg and I were briefly talking in this last show about the phenomenon of all of this visceral, hysterical, anti-Russian reaction in the Democratic Party now, I observed something that I think frankly explains it. And it is that back in the days, and I referred to what is basically, provably, the 70-year reign of Jewish Bolshevism in the old Soviet Union. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn, of course, emphasized before his death that the perpetrators of these crimes, both in terms of the revolution and the gulag, in the deaths of millions of people, were all due to a particular group of people, and it's obvious who he was referring to. He was referring to Jews who have a disproportionate role to play in the control of global media, which in turn has concealed the massive character of these Jewish Bolshevik crimes from the Western world. And in this regard, isn't it interesting that in the era when all of that was going on, the primary problem with any pro-communist sentiment in those days in the United States that was not explicitly connected to the Communist Party USA was to be found in the Democratic Party, predominantly the Democratic Party as opposed to the Republican Party. I think that that's a fair statement. And yet all this time later, the anti-Russian hysteria of a type similar to what we saw in the 1950s in the United States is coming from the Democratic Party, which is taking place because in Vladimir Putin's Russia, we are seeing a renaissance of Russian Orthodox, the older Russian Orthodox Christian culture, the pre-Bolshevik revolutionary Christian culture, reasserting itself in Russia. Putin, I think, is identified with that and identified far more with Russian nationalism now than he certainly is with Stalinism or with the communist period in the old Soviet Union. And Putin is arguably, in terms of the LGBTQ movement, the leading light among world statesmen in opposing the worst excesses of that movement and being willing to say so publicly. And of course, Vladimir Putin has largely checked the Zionist neocon advance in the Middle East through his intervention in Syria. Vladimir Putin is attempting to encourage large families again among white Russians who are Russian Orthodox Christians, and all of these other things that have the globalist Zionist element worldwide going absolutely nuts. This subverts their global game plan, both for Russia and for the rest of the world. And so in this regard, this explains why it is that the Democratic Party is trying to pin everything that it can on Vladimir Putin and Vladimir Putin's Russia. It also explains how it is that these people like Adam Schiff and Adam Parkomenko have links to Jews and Ukrainian Jews and to the Israeli lobby, and how and why it is that when the Democratic Party is waxing eloquent about the dangers of foreign involvement in the American electoral process, they are conveniently skipping over the primary culprit guilty of all of that, and that is the Zionist state of Israel. And of course, not since the assassination of John Kennedy and the end of Bob Kennedy's involvement as the Attorney General of the United States after that assassination has there been an attempt, as there was at the time of the Kennedys, to bring the American Zionist Council, the precursor of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, mm-hmm. Into status as a foreign, the agent of a foreign power.
And it should be considered a foreign lobby.
There's no question about it. And yet the IPAC people,
they don't have to register.
And all of the rest of these affiliated Israeli fronts are not bound by any of the strictures of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And this is compounded by such outrages is the imprisonment of this Russian gun activist, Marina Butina, mm-hmm. who is about to be released from prison. She might be back home in Moscow by, I think, the 23rd or 26th of October, based upon these news releases that I've looked at. And when you look at what she was actually accused of, the only thing that they could get her on was failure to fill out a Foreign Agents Registration Act form. Mm-hmm. Does anyone believe that a Russian gun rights activist who was attending NRA gatherings and so forth, does anyone believe that that represents the same level of threat to the integrity of the American electoral and political and governmental and media process that this Zionist entity does?
Yeah.
It's utterly preposterous. And yet the Democratic Party is obviously anything Russian now in the post-communist period is going to be used not only to demonize Vladimir Putin, mm-hmm. but also to divert attention away from the amount of Jewish money and influence that governs not just both political parties in the United States, but especially the Democratic Party.
Right. And so you've got, I mean, Matt, this is chutzpah. You've got AIPAC, you've got J Street, you've got all of these openly pro-Israeli organizations, which are foreign lobbies, and yet they're not required to register, not to mention all of the groups, you know, the pro-Jewish groups that aren't necessarily explicitly Israeli, but very anti-American. They don't have to register. And so there's the chutzpah with them using the failure to register as a foreign agent to arrest people, and it goes beyond this young Russian woman and who was associated with the NRA, because think, what were they, how did they push Michael Flynn out of office? There was something about him having done some work for Turkey or something and not having registered or whatever it was. What is Paul Manafort in prison for? You know, it is failure to register as a foreign agent, and none of them do. And then having a foreign bank account that he hadn't reported or something like that. Well, and it wasn't even for tax evasion. It was just simply he had a foreign bank account. Well, how many of these illegal or legal aliens that we have in the United States? How many of these millions and millions and millions of immigrants who we know are sending money back to Mexico or whatnot, how many of them have bank accounts? And, you know, and so they're selectively prosecuting people for so-called crimes that their own people commit on a just absolutely regular basis. So that is
with complete impunity. With complete impunity.
Yeah. Hey, there's one more thing I wanted to bring up. You said the 70-year period of Jewish Bolshevism. And, you know, it gets me thinking because obviously the Russian Revolution was a Jewish revolution, and the early Soviet Union, especially in the, you know, worst days of its, you know, of its atrocities, was Jewish run. But over the decades, Jews got pushed out of positions of authority to a large extent. I mean, some who might have been semi-crypto, like Yuri Andropov, who was one of the last presidents of the Soviet Union, he stayed on. But to a large extent, Jews got pushed out. But here's the thing, and which I think validates your assertion of 20 years of Jewish Bolshevism. The people, you know, Stalin or Khrushchev or Brezhnev, they came to political maturity under this Jewish Bolshevism, and even if the Jews got pushed out of positions of power, the Jewish nature of Bolshevism didn't really change, and they had all of these absolutely insane ideas about how to run the economy and all how to control dissident dissent and everything, very Jewish, and that remained. It wasn't until Gorbachev that there was really any effort made to transform or to overhaul that Jewish legacy of Bolshevism. And, you know, what happens as soon as Gorbachev comes around? Then he gets pushed out for Yeltsin, who turns the rump Russian Republic into a playground for Jewish oligarchs. So I just thought
that's
exactly that
right. And they that continued with American support for Yeltsin's election. And when it makes the front cover of Time magazine, and we have the evidence from that, a massive admitted public American interference in the Russian election to ensure that Yeltsin stayed in power. When Putin eventually became the president of Russia, of course, and I think E. Michael Jones' Culture Wars has some marvelous articles that I've been trying to reread and to chronicle to get into the details of how all of this operated. But you had a number of Jewish oligarchs that had been stealing Russia blind, who subsequently were booted out of the country or who fled, and who fled with millions and millions of dollars in looted Russian money and so forth and so on that were placed in banks in the West and in Israeli banks in some cases specifically. And it is this element that certainly was involved disproportionately so in helping the United States and the EU overthrow the Yanukovych regime in February of 2014. And of course, the primary story in the Ukraine, if we did not have a Jewish run and Jewish owned news media in the West, and of course, Solzhenitsyn made reference to that before his death, we would understand that the primary issue in the Ukraine is not Donald Trump and not any conversation that involved Trump and the current president of the Ukraine in regard to investigating Joe Biden. It is the overt criminal activities, prima facie evidence of criminal activities on the part of Joe and Hunter Biden and the so-called Burisma Holdings Company, the basic pay-to-play stuff that was going on there after the coup d'etat. And then, of course, when names like Adam Schiff and this gentleman, Adam Parkomenko, start coming up in matters Ukraine involving oligarchs and arms dealers and attempts to, on the part of significant elements in Ukraine, according to the UK Observer, who were trying to tip the election in Clinton's favor in 2016. This is the real story about the Ukraine, and yet the Democrats and the Jewish news media have largely turned this thing on its head whenever the subject of Ukraine comes up.
Yeah. Now, I just saw before we started recording that the Justice Department is going to, they're actually going to, I guess they're going to investigate the Mueller investigation, something like that. And so I don't know if we're going to get to the bottom of any of this ever, but it does seem like there may be a bit of an effort by the Trump administration to investigate back. Okay, we'll be right back after the break.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day. Without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, we are back, and there's just a few minutes left. What other great news stories do you have for us?
Well, just in passing, I'll reference Dr. Philip Giraldi's essay for the UNS Review. A call for a coup plus a week like no other for Tulsi Gabbard. That underscores the particulars of a lot of the things that we have basically...
A call for a coup? What does he mean by that?
Basically that you have a deep state coup going on against Donald Trump at the same time that the forces behind that are targeting Tulsi Gabbard. So that's an excellent article to take a look at.
They better not mess with my fellow Aloha American Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, are attempting to do that, but I'm trying to counter some of this stuff online by going after these people at Tulsi is a Russian agent, which is a site that has been set up through Twitter in blogging all of the contrary evidence that hopefully somebody who is reasonable, who is looking at that propaganda, will take a look at and weigh and consider. Yes, just two domestic stories as we close that are of critical importance to our listeners. The National Rifle Association indicates today that Elizabeth Warren has come out for gun confiscation. Now, I've not read the particulars of what Warren said, but the statement of the National Rifle Association would certainly suggest that this is perhaps the most radical stuff to come out of a Democratic presidential contender on the subject of firearms since Beto O'Rourke, who, of course, has no chance to actually win the nomination, but Warren does. So I would urge our people to take a look at those releases by the NRA more closely to see exactly what it is that Warren said. I'm going to take a look at it today. I haven't had time to research it before we went on the air. The other one is this LifeSite news story about this outrageous situation going on in Dallas, where Judge Kim Cooks of the 255th District in Dallas had ruled originally that the father of this 7-year-old boy had no rights in regard to the decision of his ex-wife, who is a pediatrician, to start taking their 7-year-old son in for gender change treatments. Now, today, we learned that the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has said that he's getting a Texas Attorney General, Abbott, involved, or not Abbott, but Ken Paxton, I believe, involved in this case. And there's been enough of a public outcry that there is some question now, as the judge has made some statements today that indicate that, well, maybe the husband does have some sort of say in the medical and psychological treatment of this son, which was born to the wife by in vitro fertilization, according to the media. Unbelievably, it is reported by Breitbart that these two were a member of an Orthodox church, but are now divorced, and now the mother, who is a pediatrician, wants her 7-year-old boy's gender changed via all of this gender surgery and genetic alteration and gender therapy treatment. So the fascinating thing here is we will watch this. This is the James Younger case. And I want to credit LifeSite News, blogger Matt Walsh on Twitter, the publication The Texan, and last but not least, let's offend the Democrats by emphasizing that Channel One, the Russian news agency, is the other news outlet that has covered this amazing story in Dallas. And when we consider that in the state of Texas, any judge, much less any judge in the country, would rule that a 7-year-old boy can go in for gender reassignment and alteration,
wow,
without his without his father having any legal say-so in this matter, wow, obviously has serious implications for the future, yeah, of the republic and the family structure.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, in the heart of Texas, folks, that and a jury by an 11-1 margin voted that.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.